now return to the hard question with Blanquita.
I really want to applaud State Representative LaShawn Ford, who is a senior Democrat right. in the state legislature.
Well, that's the thing. They are breaking, liberals are breaking with the Democrat establishment for their own safety's sake and for the safety of their community.
Yeah. Absolutely. And LaShawn Ford, he's on the west side of Chicago, and he has one of the hardest hit areas in terms of the violence. I remember one lady at the protest told me that her nephew was burned alive beyond recognition and put in a garbage can from some gang violence. When you think about that, you should scream for help, because Rahm Emanuel is obviously not hearing the many residents in Chicago, especially the most vulnerable.
No, he's...
And he certainly isn't. And another 60 people this weekend were shot in Chicago. 8 were killed, 53 wounded. And I wanted to check in with the founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Dr. John Lott has a great reputation, including here in Chicago. And Dr. Lott, you know, the thing that we're hearing is that they're not listening, that the Rahm Emanuel is not listening, that law enforcement is not being respected, that we're talking about trying to control the Second Amendment. But then again, what is going to be a good strategic plan for the community like Chicago that really is suffering kind of, it's like a crime wave that's like a war? And welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on. Well, I mean, I think the problem in Chicago is self-inflicted. When Mayor Daley became mayor, 67% of murders were solved through arrest, what they call the clearance rate. When Daley left, it was down to 30%, and it's continued falling under Rahm Emanuel. Now it's down to 17%, 17.5%. of murders result in arrest. Even a smaller percentage of those result in conviction. And so it's not too surprising to me that you have a lot of gang crime going on there when the probability of arrest is so low. And there are lots of things that the city's done to cause that. You look under Rahm Emanuel, what he did was he closed down detective bureaus in the highest crime rate parts of the city. I mean, he still solved the crime, but now you're talking about detectives have to go and drive 45 minutes or so to get to where the crime scenes are. That means you have detectives sitting around in cars, wasting their time, not spending it directly solving crimes as much as they used to. You have an agreement that... the city's made under Emanuel with the ACLU, where now every time a police officer talks to somebody, they have to fill out 2 long legal pages of small print talking about, you know, who they talked to, the racial, age, and other characteristics of the individual, what they talked about. It's just a mind-numbing number of questions that they have there, even beyond those simple ones.
We're talking to Dr. John Lott, and I just want to remind folks that we're talking to John because it's important that they understand your background, and you've done so much for us, really, and you're so well recognized around the world on the issue of crime and guns. And, you know, we are experiencing, I mean, people are saying more crime happening here in Chicago, smaller than New York City, but all of, you know, they've combined big cities, and Chicago has more crime than any other place. And the concern that we have is that the mayor, he just doesn't care. I mean, I don't know whether he cares or to your point, he wants to be politically correct, but how bad does it have to get to before he wakes up? And is it that he, you know, I just don't understand it.
Right. Well, as I was saying, in Chicago, you have 17.5% of murders result in arrest. The average for the country as a whole is like 64%. I mean, it's pretty hard. I mean, maybe Baltimore is nearly as bad as Chicago, but it's pretty hard to find other places in the country where, because of a lot of political decisions that have been made over many years, you know, you have the police wasting a lot of their time engaging in politically correct things. You know, the forms I was just talking about can take 45 minutes or an hour for an officer to fill out. So if an officer goes and talks to maybe four people in the morning, he's stuck filling out forms for the rest of the
day. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And, you know, it's not too surprising that you have such a high crime rate. And the thing is, also, when Emmanuel got in there, he shut down a lot of the gang units. Well, guess what? If you're not going to have police going after gangs, you make it even relatively easier for the gangs to function.
Let me ask you something, and I also want to, we've got a lot to cover with you today, and I hope you'll bear with us because we're so happy to have you on the program. But in a way, you know, the issue has appeared to be that it becomes a question of, is it racist? And you know, if we go and arrest people that may come from a certain demographic, a certain gender, a certain, you know, physical description. And then to my question, because I've worked with a lot of cops in my life, it appears to me that it's more racist if you don't, because the very community that is affected is the one that is almost ignored.
Sure. Well, I mean, you have 90% of murders involving blacks are committed by blacks where the victims are black. And, you know, and you have about 81% or so of whites are, you know, killed by other whites. People tend to kill others of their same race. And, you know, so you have...
Well, that's interesting.
The South Side of Chicago, the West Side, places like that that are heavily minority where the murders are occurring, the victims there are minorities. And I don't know how you can go and get around that. You know, the question is, are you going to be more concerned about the victims, or are you going to be more concerned about the perpetrators that are there?
Correct.
And you want to make it costly. You want to make it risky for criminals to go and commit crimes so they think twice before they go and commit these crimes. As I say, if there's less than a 20% chance of being arrested for a murder, and it's even lower, relatively lower for gangs because people don't want to take the risk of testifying against gangs, particularly when the rate of successfully putting somebody away is so low.
Yeah.
You know, you go and you try to risk testifying against some gang members, you may have retaliation against you. And so they're really in a bad kind of situation here where it's so low rate of catching these people and convicting them, it's hard to convince witnesses to come forward.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Lott. And the other thing is, you know, to your point, they're afraid if they testify against an MS-13 person or someone that might be a gang guy, that it could not maybe hurt them, it could hurt their family. And you're dealing with judges who won't enforce the law and police who are limited, and it's a bad cycle. You, I want to hear about this new report because I think it's important in the context of everything that's going on, that talks about the increased rates of concealed carry permits. You know, this is something people are wanting to protect themselves more, and even in areas where they haven't been so pro-gun, I think there's an attitude that may be changing.
Well, I mean, the biggest increases that you've seen in permits, and they've been increasing quite quickly over the last decade and a half or so, have been minorities, particularly people who live in high-crime urban areas. The problem with Illinois is that the cost of getting a permit, you know, when you add up all the costs, you're talking about like $450 or so.
Oh, brother, that's
so
too
Illinois
expensive.
Illinois has relatively few permits that are given out, and the permits that are given out are primarily to people in the suburbs. And in Chicago, they've basically done everything they can to make it so that poor minorities won't get permits. So not only does it cost $450, but there are no training facilities in the city. You have to, and you're not allowed to take a gun with you on public transportation. And so you have to go and travel outside the city, usually a ways outside, probably have to go and borrow a car from somebody if you don't already have one yourself. Because it's 16 hours of training, you have to go and travel out there for at least 2 days.
Well, hold on for just a second. We're so delighted to have you on the show. It's been a long time coming, and we're thrilled to have Dr. John Lott, who is a prolific author and writer, the man who knows so much about, he is the most world-recognized expert in gun and crime. We'll have more about him and how you can go to his website and some of the books and articles he's written. Stay with us.
This is The Hard Question on WCGO. Here's BQ.
Well, I think that posse comitatus has been suspended several times, or it can be suspended. I think that the president could send in the National Guard. I think that the Navy or the Marines could be sent in. I think in 1957, President Eisenhower sent in the National Guard to protect school integration. In 1992, President George G.W. Bush did it to protect the city of Los Angeles on the heels of the verdict of the Rodney King riot. And in 2006, I think President George Bush did it to send troops to the Mexican border.
So, and is that what we really want for Chicago? Is it time to have, you know, the government send in the troops, because we can't manage our own situation with crime? More crime wave this past weekend with another 60 people being injured and so many killed, even including very young people. We've got a great guest on the show. We're so happy that he's joining us. John Lott, who is the Crime Prevention Research Center founder. He contributes to The Hill. You see him many, many times on Fox News. He's a great columnist for Fox News and townhall.com. And in fact, he's written many books. In fact, I'm sure so many of you have read them: More Guns, Less Crime, The Bias Against Gun Freedonomics. And John, you know, that spokesman was saying we should have the troops sent in. And frankly, you know, we really need to have an honest discussion and a real strategy on how to deal with crime in Chicago. But we're kind of sweeping it under the rug, and every weekend people are crossing their fingers you're not going to get killed.
Right. Well, I mean, troops are fairly limited in terms of what they can do. They're not set up to be detectives. They're not set up to solve crimes. What you do with troops is you can go and put them in front of some building if you don't want a crime, you know, somebody to try to rob that particular building. But the difficulty that you face with troops is that the criminals know they're there. And so the criminals can simply, if you're not going to have enough troops to cover the entire city. You know, I don't care how many you put there.
They're
not
going
to be able to cover all the targets that are there. And, you know, they'll simply move on to some other target. You can't put a soldier in every store that's in the city there. And so, you know, I remember one trip I took down to Brazil to give some talks, and I was in São Paulo, and in the middle of different town squares, they would have a police car with its lights flashing all day, just... And I was asking, what's the point of doing that? And they said, well, you know, just to let the criminals know that the police are there. But the criminals would simply go down halfway down the street and go and commit their crime down there, you know, because they knew where the police were, and so they just went to where the police weren't. And you have the same thing with troops. Now, if somehow they could go and bring in a lot of detectives from someplace else. But even then, there's a cost to kind of getting to know the city, to getting to know the people that are there. And so that would take time. And, you know, I don't know how long they're planning on having detectives from other cities being, you know, transferred to Chicago. But I assume it's not going to be something permanent. I mean, to be useful, I mean, Chicago has to deal with this itself. It has to go and hire a lot more police right now. When Emmanuel got into office, he had promised to increase the number of police, but what he did.
He basically threw his competitor under the bus. He basically threw Gary McCarthy under the bus, the guy who is now, who was the top cop, who's going to be running against him. And honestly, I think the big shock to me is that so many people that would have been Rahm Emanuel supporters, including members of the African American community in our city, are saying, resign. They want him gone. They want Rahm Emanuel out of there. And I think that finally it's like, you know, they want someone who can lead. And Emanuel's so interesting. He doesn't even show his, you know, what he's doing during the day. I look at the Chicago Tribune to see what he's up to, and he doesn't post it anymore. I think he's concerned that people will know where he is. How does this correspond to this new report that you have out right now talking about the increased rates of concealed carry permits? Obviously, to your point, in Chicago, it's almost cost prohibitive for anybody that, you know, doesn't have a big paying job.
Well, the point is that the people who are the most likely victims are poor blacks. And so those are the ones who want to be able to make sure are able to go and defend themselves. But having $450 to go and get a concealed carry permit, you know, not including the other costs that we were talking about before, that's going to be prohibitive for most of them. I mean, you have Indiana is next door. Indiana,
right.
About 18% of the adult population in Indiana has a concealed carry permit. And the reason is pretty simple. It's relatively cheap. You can go and get a concealed carry permit. The entire cost of getting it is like $47. And so having a much lower cost there means not only do you have more permits, but you have a different mix of people who get permits. You're having a lot of the people who are actually the victims of violent crime who live in these high-crime urban areas are able to, or at least a lot more able to go and afford to be able to protect themselves and their families.
And, you know, the sad fact of the matter is, in some of the areas you have women who are single mothers. You know, you have trying to be able to protect their kids. You have older
right.
families that are targeted as well. And it's almost as if they're not an important element in the city because they're not of a certain economic demographic. I kind of feel, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, but John, I got the sense that we're going to see a big overturn at the polls from people saying, you know, we want to take our city back. We want to be able to have safety and security for everyone, and that literally goes past their gender, race, whatever, you know, that we look at and say we want to have good leadership. I was surprised when I saw that Gary McCarthy was the one who was the top cop he threw under the bus.
Right. Well, I mean, you bring up an excellent point in the sense that it's women and the elderly, people who are relatively weaker physically, who also benefit a lot from having guns to be able to protect themselves. You're almost always talking about a male criminal doing the violent crime. And when you're talking about a male attacking a female, there's a lot larger strength differential that exists there on average. And the presence of a gun represents a much bigger relative change in a woman's ability to go and resist an attack than it does for a man when you're having a man attacking another man. And in fact, what you've seen, we've seen this huge increase in concealed carry permits nationwide. It's gone from 2007, there were about 4.6 million. Now it's almost 17.3 million. But the biggest increases that we've seen have been for women and for minorities, Asians and blacks.
And absolutely. You know, and that certainly is understandable because they're the target.
Right. Well, they're the ones who benefit the most. So I'm glad to know that they're the ones who have been increasing the most recently.
I want people to understand that they can go to the Crime Prevention Research Center site, and I know you're going to give that to us before we go to our break. But they need to know all the statistics, and I think the reason you're respected is because you do this really without any benefit of any funding from any gun groups or any of that. This is strictly a very forthright research center. Can you give us your website, John?
It's crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org.
And they're going to be able to see the report on there. We thank you so much. I hope that you will come back and visit us again. You know, obviously we're going through a heck of a time here in Chicago, and we need some good insight. Thank you, Dr. John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research Center. And check it out, and you'll find out also the new report on concealed carry, which is very, very interesting. This is The Hard Question. I'm Blanquita Cullum. Stay with us.